By the time you hear this message, both I and my kind will almost certainly be extinct. I am from a planet we call Earth. This probe, containing this recorded message together with various human artifacts, was launched by NASA in 1983 in the hope of reaching an alien intelligence. On my planet, the highest of the species is man, and the lowest of the species is a man who works in a post office. Organic life began on Earth when slime crawled out of the oceans and 50 million years later called themselves the Nolans. Man reproduces with the female of his kind, woman. He is the only species on Earth to have eye contact during mating. But on the other hand, the other species don't need to break so frequently for light snacks. The male reproductive organs are external. This is a source of many problems, especially if they're not quite as external as you'd like them. On Earth, man is the only animal who kills his own kind. He is also the only animal who plays table tennis with his own kind. There are many different colors of man, though only one color is allowed to join golf clubs. These brief data are covered in greater depth within this probe. This probe is called Son of Cliché.
Present Son of Cliché, written by Rob Grant and Doug Naylor, starring Christopher Barry, Nick Maloney, Nick Wilton, music by Pete Ruiz. Okay, I'd like to get the show off with a little style and sophistication. So the first joke we're going to do tonight is in Latin. We apologize in advance to the thicker people who aren't fluent in ancient languages, but for the people who are, here's a good one. Homus Romanus erit, quod sine ad fenestram medicum, Polantribus, amar that. Anyway. Quid in nomen hid res publicum omnes gallus, widerant. So he comes back the next day and says, mei numeros vidi mensae quorum ambulant. He says, oh, I thought you meant
Conorei Roman Danis Vidi.
This is a tough audience.
And welcome to Kelburn on the west coast of Scotland for another edition of One Man and His Piranha Fish. As usual, three shepherds will be working in partnership with their piranha fish and will attempt to capture, pen and eat seven Scottish blackfish sheep. Points are awarded for time between swallows, best chewing action, quickest sheep in the stomach and obedience. And they're off, and it's all over.
Excuse me, can you help me?
No, I work for the post office.
It's just that I want to apply for a passport.
Well, I'm sorry, I work for the post office. We're not allowed to help people. I've probably told you too much already, love.
Well, surely somebody can help me.
Look, I tell you what, dear. Get behind the 12 people in that queue there and ask the man at the next counter, okay?
Will he be able to help me?
No, he works at the post office too.
Well, what's the point of that?
Well, it makes it extremely frustrating waste your time.
Fine. Thank you anyway.
Don't say thank you, so I might think I've helped you.
Johnson! Johnson!
Yes, sir?
Did I hear that man say thank you?
Yes, sir. It was a mistake.
Yeah, well, see, it doesn't happen again. Oh, and Johnson, what time is it?
Sorry, I can't help you.
That's better.
Also contained within this probe.
Boys of Redgate, welcome to this, the final assembly for another school year. And alas, we must bid farewell to the boys of the upper sixth. What can I say to you boys who are about to embark on this wonderful adventure called life? Wasn't it St. Paul the Apostle who wrote in his first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 13, faith, hope, and love? And the greatest of these, love. What was he trying to tell us? Was he trying to say Adam Faith and Bob Hope are less talented than Jeff Love and his orchestra? No. I think he was talking about love. The greatest gift of all. Love which drove Vladimir Nabokov, the great Russian novelist, to write, her young weight, her shameless, innocent shanks and round bottom, shifted in my tense, tortured, surreptitiously laboring lap. Is this the love that St. Paul was lauding? Is that why he thought it was so... ace? No. Then perhaps he meant the love which led William Wordsworth to pen the immortal words, love is like a violin. Or was that Ken Dodd? Nevertheless, how true it is, love is like a violin, because isn't love, after all, a small wooden thing? Doesn't it have laminated resin strings, and don't we keep it in a green fence-lined case and carry it around with us? Just like a violin. No.
We on Earth believe that man descended from apes, but not all men made the transition. Many that didn't can be found in mail order catalogues modelling cashmere sweaters or working for a show called Nationwide.
Have you ever thought how much bodily waste you lose every year? Mucal and glandular secretions, earwax, dandruff, skin scales, fingernail and toenail clippings, etc., etc. In a year, each person discards enough volume to fill a marina four-door saloon. That's 20 hundredweight a year of waste. But it isn't waste to Mr. and Mrs. Jones of Romford, Essex. Because for 10 years, they've been saving all their bodily byproducts and have used it to make their very own dream home.
Right.
Now,
right.
Tell me, Mr. Jones, this living room carpet with the rather lovely Indian motif, what exactly is that made from?
It was weaved by my wife, actually, from the little curly hairs we found in our bed.
And lovely, marvellous it is, too.
Thank you.
And what were the main ingredients that went to create the walls and ceiling of your dream home?
Well, that's a mixture of earwax, nail clippings, and the flaky bits you get with athlete's foot.
Incredible, marvellous. And tell me, how long does it take for a combination of perspiration and dandruff to harden to the consistency needed to build that rather splendid four-piece suite?
Funny, everybody asked that. Well, we were rather fortunate in that particular case because we were aided considerably by my suffering a particularly bad bout of bronchitis.
And those are the only ingredients that went into that suite?
No, that particular suite is from MFI. The one we're making isn't quite finished yet, though we expect it to be a good deal sturdier.
Yes, well, unfortunately, time has beaten us, and we must bid farewell to Mr. Jones in his ingenious dream home. Good night.
Good night.
Pardon me.
Oh, do you want that?
Welcome, Radio 2 listeners, to Football Special and to the San Mauriciano Stadium here in Santa Cruz, Bolivia. For this, the first match in England's South American tour. The heat pushing 95 degrees, making a smouldering cauldron of this magnificent purpose-built stadium. Although that purpose isn't football, it's rounding up dissidents and having them shot. Some question marks over the England team. They only arrived in Bolivia yesterday. And Bobby Robson, I know, was concerned there was not enough time for his squad to become acclimatised to the sizzling heat and the lack of individual freedom and basic human rights. The stadium awash with colour and a sea of sound because, of course, the national sport here in Bolivia is staying alive after 7 o'clock at night. And as the teams line up for the national anthems, a quick rundown of some of the danger men in the South American side. Number 7, the golden boy of Bolivian football, El Santiero, or as he's been nicknamed by his fans, El Santiero. Up front, the man they'll be looking to for goals, Escobari, or as he's been nicknamed by the crowd, El Santiero. This, the cause of bitter feuding between the two. At the back, captain of the team, 35-year-old goalkeeper, Jose Rodriguez, worshipped by the Bolivians and popularly known as Papita, which of course means in Bolivian, El Santiero. And they're lining up, and I think they're about to play the national anthem. And as they do, I'll give you a quick translation. Bolivia Bolivia, nation proud and free, although you hold my wife and children in permanent detention. Bolivia, Bolivia, my heart explodes with pride, best torturers in all the world, especially when it comes to wiring up gonads. And now it's time for the English national anthem, and here it comes.
I'm hopping a freight train to the old country. I'm bumming a ride, just using my thumb. Hey, Mr. Trucker, I want to hear those air brakes hissing. Take me back where I come from. Take me back to the country. Take me back where I belong. Take me back to where my folks live. Take me back where I was born. I still remember those good old country people who smell of milk and have terrible teeth. So god darn ugly from all that inbreeding. And all the boys look just like Uncle Keith. And you know when you're 7, the girl you've got to marry, and you take her out walking, and you stop and say, sweet and me, Louie, could you work on getting pretty? 'Cause you seem to get uglier every day.
Every night by the fireside, they read the Bible
and drink whiskey. They go out and they shoot some hippies. God, I love that big old tree. And they're so small-minded and share the same opinion. And they're all half crazy from that illegal roots. And they're just like the family in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. My wife, my sister and my cousin, my wife and my grandma, my sister and my cousin, my wife.
Come in. Ah, you'll be Mr. Davis. Now, this is Mr. Brown, the headmaster, and I'm Mr. Garrett, the deputy head.
Pleased to meet you.
Please, sit down. No, I really meant on a chair.
Oh, sorry.
Are you comfortable like that? I mean, usually it's bottom first, isn't it?
Oh, of course it is. Oh, stupid of me.
It's so easy to forget how to sit down, isn't it?
Yes, your bottom's that big sort of peachy-looking thing at the back.
Right, right, yeah, of course, yes, of course it is, yes.
Right, well, you're sitting down now. That didn't take too long, did it?
So, Mr. Davis, you're currently a P.E. teacher.
Yes?
And you're applying to fill our vacant post?
No, I'd come about the job.
Yes, yes, that's what I just said.
Whose turn is it to talk, then, eh?
I have your application before me. One or two things to sort out. You seem eminently suitable. Just a bit of a problem over your qualifications. We can't make this bit here out. The green crayon's a bit smudged.
Oh, excuse me, is that a desk?
What, this?
Yes.
Yes, it's a desk.
Oh, if I got the job, would I get a desk?
You would, yes.
Would I be given training on how to use it?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Yes, we're trying to establish the subject you specialized in at training college.
Yes, plasticine expression with dance and bicycle cleaning.
But I think he seems all right.
Excellent. Very good. What about the swimming?
Ah, yes. Obviously, you see, you'll be in charge of the swimming. Fairly obvious question, this one. Do you know how to put trunks on?
Yes, I do, yes.
How?
You put one arm in one hole and the other arm in the other.
I think that's close enough, don't you?
Well, I'm a bit concerned with him not knowing how to sit down. That and the trunks over the arm business. He seems to have a problem remembering which way up he is.
Yes, but for a PE teacher, I don't think that matters.
Yes. You're quite right, you're quite right.
Well, congratulations, Mr. Davis. You're in.
Hello.
Beneath the skyline of Cosmopolis, the sprawling city slumbers. Unaware that high on the rooftops stalks a lone caped figure. His aims? To avenge injustice, to bring law under the lawless, and to leap from one rooftop to the next without tripping up and breaking his neck. His name? Stupid Man. Our story begins in Commissioner Grodin's office.
Any sign of him yet, Chief?
Nothing, Commissioner. I can't understand it. I sent out Stupid Man's call sign over 2 hours ago. There it is, emblazoned against the World Trade Center. THRQPN, THRQPN.
Maybe he's forgotten how to read again.
That's him now.
Is that you, Stupid Man?
Stupid Man, is that you?
No, Commissioner. It's me, Stupid Man.
Come in.
Well, it's not so easy, Commissioner. There seems to be what I can only describe as a wooden barrier preventing my entry into your office.
Yes, sir, Stupid Man, that's the door, remember? Huh? Clasp the handle and turn.
It's having little or no effect, Commissioner.
Open the damn door, Chief, or we'll be here all day.
So much for the so-called door riddle. Now, Commissioner, what's the problem?
It seems the gangster has broken into the municipal bank.
Mm-hmm. Have we any idea why?
To steal the money, of course.
Right, of course. To steal the money.
So, Stupid Man, go out and catch him.
Wait a minute. Are you suggesting that
My God, he's forgotten how to talk again. Stupid Man, you have to sort of vibrate your throat and wiggle your tongue.
Thank you, Commissioner. Oh, that was pretty scary for a moment there. Right. Now, you're suggesting I should go out and catch him.
Yes.
Right away, Commissioner. I'll use the window, for it is the sworn duty of Stupid Man to right wrongs, avenge evil, and... That's it. Yeah, just the two things. Not three things, as some people thought. Just the two. Hey, so long, Commissioner.
So long, Stupid Man.
Up, up, and away!
Remember, kids, don't ever try to do what Stupid Man just did. Because you can't fly. Neither can he.
Hey. New stereo.
Yeah, right. It's a bit amazing, actually. Yes, great. Speakers are ARPT cabinets, man. 5,000 watts per channel, 800 quid each. Great.
God.
21-speed Tomica deck with laser auto cutout. Costs 1,100 quid, man. That's great.
God.
The amp's got a quartz touch tuner with automatic track selection, 15 channels, leather-sealed HT leads, and 14 dB blunder dyke and input exchange, 1,800 quid.
God.
It's groovy stuff. And last week I got a solar cell solid silver vacuum head cleaner and a mercury-bearing hydraulic balance for the octophonic diamond-studded arm, $2,000 worth.
Hey, what's it sound like?
Don't know. Can't afford any records.
Also contained within this probe...
On the leaderboard, it's Tom Watson. Still four clear of the field. Over to the ninth, and it's Tom with a birdie putt. 12 feet, lining up the ball. It's 12 feet. Ball's too big. Never gonna go in a hole that size. Meantime, on the approach to the fourth, here's Tony. Tony Jacklin, famous British golfer a few years back for a couple of months. Over to the 10th, and Bernhard Langer's played his second into a tree. He's up there. Four branches up. Not happy about something, huh? He wants the crowd pushed back. There they go.
three or four of them climbing down out of the tree. Here's Sevy on the seventh and in a bunker. Here he goes. Good shot. Great swing. Good follow through. Still in the bunker. Meantime, a big yell goes up on the tenth. Has Langer hole out from the tree? No. And here's Sivvy, still on the seventh, looking to drive the green. Long shot, long shot. Here it comes. Whoa, 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 whoa. That ball will not stop. It's gone through the green, through the gallery, through the clubhouse, through the barman's head. Well, the ball stopped. So is the barman. Meantime, let's go over to the eighth and have another laugh at Lee Trevino's pants. There they are. God, they're funny. And we're joined in the commentary box now by Sevy Ballesteros. Bad shot from Sevy.
Also contained in the Sun of Cliché probe, a program which is only to be broadcast in the event of the onset of nuclear war. It will be played simultaneously on all networks immediately following the four-minute warning.
It's the last 4 minutes, ladies and gentlemen. The final program before all time closed down. It's the Holocaust Show!
The show you hoped you'd never see. I don't know what you're going to be doing for the next 3 minutes and 50 seconds, but I hope you'll stay tuned as we entertain you with music, chat, and a loud bang. Michael.
And a message just in from a spokesman for the Jehovah's Witnesses. They say the world will end next Friday, and that's definite.
But now, with the time ticking away, it's over to our great debate, is there life after death?
And with me, Bishop of Liverpool, Fred Pottle, top scientist and atheist, Dr. Henry Winters, and agnostic, John Bland. Is there life after death? Bishop.
Yes.
Dr. Winters?
No.
John?
Dunno.
Well, fairly well balanced. Shame we haven't got time to go into greater depth. But now, it's on to traffic news.
Traffic report, just in. There is severe congestion on all roads leading to Invernessshire. An AA spokesman said, we expect the problem to clear within the next couple of minutes.
How to survive. And we were to have had an SAS survival expert with us in the studio, but unfortunately he was killed when he tripped down the stairs and fell on his knife.
Less than 3 minutes to go now, and if you're wondering how to spend the time, here are 10 things you can do in less than 2 minutes.
1. Read a Barbara Cartland novel.
2. Court wine, dine, and seduce a nurse.
3. Read another Barbara Cartland novel.
4. Go to college and become a PE teacher.
5. Watch an England tennis player get knocked out at Wimbledon.
6. Rush out and buy a copy of Not the Nuclear War.
7. Have a three-course meal at Cannes.
8. Buy a new Citroen and watch it corrode.
9. Achieve the same prowess as Linda McCartney on any musical instrument.
Ten, read another Barbara Cartland novel.
Or you could stay tuned to us as we go over to What the Papers Say.
And the headline in the Times is, total destruction imminent, the Mail, the Holocaust, here it comes, and the Daily Star, it's Bingo Bonanza Week.
But now,
the nicest way to go. Here's a tip from a top psychologist.
Well, speaking personally, I'm going to sit in my favorite armchair, put my feet up and put on a Mantovani record. Listen to that for a few minutes. Then death will be a pleasant relief.
And as we head towards the last few seconds, a bulletin just in from the Ministry of Defence. Please do not panic, a spokesman screamed. Dig a hole in your garden, climb into a plastic bag, jump in the hole and fill it in. This won't save your life, but it will leave everything neat and tidy for the species who move in next.
And that's all we've got time for here on the Holocaust Show. Goodbye.
And I'm going to be asking you what you've been listening to Santa Cruz for.
And I want you to answer the question directly, because I'm putting the question to you directly. Why have you been listening to Son of Cliche, Mr. Foote?
Well, my word, I... My, We must bear in mind the show did star Christopher Barry, Nick Maloney, and Nick Wilson. But that's still not an adequate reason.
Mr. Healy?
Well, I certainly didn't listen to it because the show was written by Rob Grant and Doug Naylor.
Mr. Kinnock?
Well, I must be honest. I like Peter Lewis, who did the music, and the Son of Cliche big band sound. What I don't like, and I can't overstate this, I don't like the producer, Alan Nixon.
And who does, my good man? And I want to make this quite clear. You're just a boy. Yes, I can't stand a whole lot of you, ask me. Not that it matters what the hell I think. Not that it ever mattered.
Well, that's it from us on Son of Cliche. And we're just waiting now to hand over to the continuity announcer, who's been a bit delayed. We all know why. They're having a fling at the moment with Michael, the studio assistant. It's not exactly a secret. Even though Michael is married. It's a bit sickening, actually, to see them walking around all day, cooing at each other, blowing kisses, writing each other little notes. It's all very well in your own time, but when you should be in here doing the continuity link instead of being next door in the storage room, I just think it's a bit much, that's all. Not exactly professional. Oh, anyway, this has gone on far too long. I'm gonna go and get them. Sorry, hang on.
Oh, my God! You could have knocked.
I'm sorry. I did knock. Sorry, Michael.
Well, get out!
It's just that, Thingy's supposed to be doing the continuity link at the moment.
Have you finished the show already?
Yeah, we finished over a minute ago.
You'd better go, darling. Don't be too long.